Radio talk show host David Feldman interviewed Forbes contributor Adam Hartung for the Pacifica Radio Network in January 2015 on why the stock market is rigged.
Welcome to the broadcast. I'm David Feldman, DavidFeldmanShow.com. This month, Apple was added to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, replacing AT&T, which has been a part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average for more than a century. We are joined by Adam Hartung, who writes the leadership column for Forbes magazine. He is also the CEO of several companies. Thank you for joining us, Adam.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
We have talked about this before on my show. The fact that Apple is being added to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, replacing AT&T, exemplifies to me how the market is rigged. That when people say you will always make money in the stock market, you will always get an 11% return if you just buy and hold the stock market. This, to me, shines a light on the myth that the stock market is a great investment. So let's go to basics. You're writing a column about this week for Forbes. What is the Dow Jones Industrial Average?
It is a selection of between 50 and 100 stocks, because it's not a guaranteed firm number, made by the editors of Dow Jones Company, which published the Wall Street Journal. So a select group of senior executives at Dow Jones and Company, combined with they invite in some friends, they meet in a room and they say, we believe these are the leading companies in America, all of which have to be large cap, and we're going to track these companies as a way of thinking about how the how companies are doing in this economy.
So when the news, when the anchorman says the stock market was up today, the Dow Jones Industrials gained 30 points. Who are they talking about? What stocks, what companies are they talking about when they say the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 30 points today? Who are they talking about?
Yeah, so that's a something that's changed a lot in the 100 years since the Dow Jones Industrial Average was created. The only company that's been on that list since the beginning was General Electric. And if you go back to the early days of the Dow, the important thing to remember is that they created a Dow Jones Industrial Average, a Dow Jones Transportation Average, and a Dow Jones Utility Average. And that's how this all started. And what they said was, watch all three of these indexes where we've selected some stocks. And if one goes up, that's cool. But if you get two of them going up, it's a confirmation that the stock market's going to do better. If all three are going up, then that's a really good bullish sign. So that was kind of how these leading financial writers thought about things in 1910. And they put that forward. And initially, you had coal companies out there, and you had like railroads, and you had shipping companies, and that's who were on these indices. Now, the economy changed, and by the time you get to the 1940s, you've gotten rid of several of those sort of coal companies and basic commodity companies, and it much more moves into manufacturing. So the Dow Jones Industrial, the General Electrics and the Bethlehem Steels and these really heavy industrial companies. But interestingly, after World War II, more time goes by, we get in the 60s, and people start saying, well, wait a minute, there's a lot of service economy, and you start seeing the addition of retailers. So you see, they take off a couple of like Bethlehem Steel doesn't do so good because the steel industry ships off to Japan, and they replace them with a company like Sears. And eventually Home Depot in the 1970s gets added. And then we see in the 1980s, we see some of these transitions keep happening, and they bring on Microsoft. And you start seeing the addition of tech companies like Microsoft, Hewlett-Packard, and most recently Apple. So what you see is that the actual component companies have changed dramatically over the last 20 years.
Yes, they have. So my understanding, because you said there's several indices, back to the original question. There are 30 stocks, as I understand it, that are part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And that is one indice, not three.
Correct. That's one.
That's one. And that is the gold standard of how the stock market is doing. Right?
Well, before you say it's the gold standard, here's what you have to keep in mind. A lot of academics looked at this and they started saying, wait a minute, why would we say that you could reflect the entire stock market just by looking at this relative handful of companies? And they invented something called the Standard & Poor's 500. So many people, when they say that the market, they'll say, well, the S&P 500. The S&P 500 means that Standard & Poor's, which is a company that rates the earnings quality of a company, company, and I say AAA, AA, A, that kind of thing, you hear those sorts of refrains, that comes from Standard & Poor's, one of the leading reviewers, and they just say these are the 500 biggest, based on revenue, 500 biggest. So at the top of the list, you're going to get Walmart, right, because it's the biggest company in America, according to revenues. They just take the 500 biggest, and that's your S&P 500. If somebody has, if somebody's down around 496, they have a bad year, they fall off. If somebody's number 512, they have a great year, then they move up. And so that's that. It's constantly being changed all the time for the top 500 in terms of size. So that's another index that's talked about a lot.
So the two indexes, in order to tell us how the stock market is doing, we have two indexes, two indicators. And one is the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is...
Yeah.
And then there's the S&P 500, 500 stocks.
Right.
Now, we have talked about this before. The market is rigged, and here's why. If AT&T was part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average for about a century, and it is no longer doing well, they take AT&T out and replace it with Apple. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average is made up not of just random companies. It's rigged to be only comprised of winning companies. Hence, it's not a reflection of how the market's doing. They are just bundling successful companies. It's like looking at Beverly Hills and saying, wow, everybody here is a great businessman. I should move to Beverly Hills because everybody's rich here. Well, yeah, because if you can't afford to live in Beverly Hills, you don't live there. You get kicked out. If you can't pay your mortgage, you don't live in Beverly Hills anymore. That's what basically the Dow Jones Industrial Average is and the S&P 500 is. It's Beverly Hills. You walk around and go, I should live here. I'll buy a house here because everybody's rich here. No. Only rich people live in Beverly Hills, and only successful companies are in the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the S&P 500. And if they stop being successful, like AT&T, they're thrown out. So it's rigged.
It's rigged, but it's the interesting thing about this, and the good thing about this, is it's rigged in a way that even the lowliest investor can take advantage of it. So when we think about the stock market overall, if you talk to an academic, they'll say, well, let's look at the New York Stock Exchange composite, which is everything.
I'm going to interrupt you. I want to ask you a question. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is so important to me. I am told that the stock market, if you stick with it, 11% return, right?
That's over a long period of time, yes.
Yes. But that's not the original Dow Jones Industrials. In other words, when you say if you buy and hold for 50 years, that means, no, you have to when Polaroid gets kicked out of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you then have to go in and replace Polaroid with, you know, Microsoft, right?
Yes.
So that is a lie that we are being told, that if you just buy and hold, the stock market goes up over time, because those stocks are being thrown out and replaced by winning stocks.
Yeah, Kodak was at one time on the list of Dow Jones companies, and it no longer is. So you mentioned Polaroid. You know, we did have Kodak on there, and Kodak was removed because Kodak obviously made film for cameras, and that business disappeared, and so they took Kodak off the list.
So when a stockbroker says to you, the safest thing to do is buy and hold, that is a lie.
That's correct.
If you bought the Dow Jones Industrial Average stocks in 1970... and held on to those stocks, how would you have done? You would not have done as well as the Dow Jones Industrial Average, because you would have not been replacing the stocks that the Dow Jones people were replacing.
Yes. So let me tell you why that's not inherently a bad thing for an investor who just understands exactly what you said. The issue here is if you wanted to just buy the stock market, you could buy something called the NYSE Composite, and you would go online, you could buy that, and you would have the entire New York Stock Exchange. And that would be exactly the New York Stock Exchange market. But But here's the beauty. You mentioned owning real estate in Beverly Hills. The thing is an investor can go buy something called a diamond. It lists on the stock market as DIA. That's the symbol. DIA stands for diamond. And the diamond is actually an index which exactly tracks the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So what happens is people who are pooling large amounts of money, they track the Dow. If you buy a diamond, you're getting the value of the Dow Jones today.
This is a new product.
It's been around for 20 years.
20 years, like buying an index fund.
Yeah,
these are
it's
new.
Like buying an index fund, yes.
But the
and
people,
you can buy the
but,
diamonds,
Wall, like, but people on Wall Street don't want you buying diamonds or funds that mimic the Dow Jones.
It used to be true that way most people in the stock market, most financial advisors were paid was based on transactions. So you paid them a fee of, say, a $100 or $200 fee every time they bought and sold stocks. Due to vast number of changes in regulations the last decade, last 15 years, that model's pretty much gone away. And now today, if you want to just you can still do that, pay a fee based on transactions, but you could do that through Scottrade or E-Trade, and your charges are going to be like $5 or $7 per transaction. So you could go buy diamonds, and it would be held in your Scottrade account, and it would only cost you $5. If you use a more sophisticated environment, like a Merrill Lynch or something like that, what they're going to do is charge you a percentage of assets. So if you have $100,000 in your account, they'll charge you a fee that might be a half of 1% of all your assets. Then they'll charge you that every year. So the incentive to promote people buying and selling individual stocks has been removed from the broker equation. So whereas that used to be where we were, that's less true today.
Read Adam Hartung in Forbes magazine. He writes the leadership column. Our executive producer is Troy Conrad. We are produced by Jimmy Lee Wirt from the KPFK studios in Southern California. I'm David Feldman. Thank you for joining us.